Good evening. You're listening to Outsources, a KGNU Boulder Denver program that brings you stimulating and thoughtful perspectives on the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. I'm your host, Angela Palermo. As always, I'm pleased to be here with you for another episode of Colorado's only regularly scheduled LGBT-themed radio show. And I'm really excited to speak with tonight's guest. Until very recently, it has been difficult for transgender people to be heard in our own voices in most public forums, whether that be in academia, the therapeutic community, the arts, or popular culture. In the past, when our lives were discussed, we were usually talked about by non-trans people. These non-trans folks were often ignorant of our lived experiences and may not have had our best interests at heart. In their own ways, an academic like Ray Blanchard in his book The Man Who Would Be Queen, or a filmmaker such as Jonathan Demme, director of Silence of the Lambs, portrayed trans people, especially trans women, as dangerous, deluded, or plain pathological. And judging by the recent spate of anti-transgender bills across the nation, the trans community is still struggling to throw off these sorts of damaging and oppressive stereotypes attached to us by ignorant cisgender folks. Speaking for myself, I am really grateful to KGNU for giving me a forum to speak about my experiences and those of other transgender and genderqueer people over the airwaves. With me on the phone to add her voice to the rising chorus of transgender self-representation is Kaya Kramer. Kaya is a trans woman living in Northern California, specifically in Sonoma County. She hosts her own radio show called The Queer Life every Friday on KBBF in Santa Rosa. Kaya has quickly become a powerful transgender advocate in Sonoma County, with The Queer Life serving as a crucial part of her activist work. Every week, she brings her sense of humor and unabashed candor to issues important to the trans community, demolishing stereotypes and disinformation gleefully as she goes. Welcome, Kaya, and thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on Outsources.
Hey, thanks for so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to have you here. Starting out, I wonder if you might tell our listeners a little bit about your radio show, The Queer Life. What sort of format does it have, and how long have you been doing it?
Yeah, The Queer Life radio show is LGBT news, modern perspectives, roundtable discussions, and interviews. And it's the typical format for the show is it's a two-hour show every Friday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific on KPPF 89.1 FM. And it's the first hour is typically an interview portion of the show where I'll find anybody along the LGBTQIAA spectrum and people who are activists, doctors, lawyers, people who are living days in the lives, and I'll bring them on and I'll have them share their perspectives. And then the second hour of the show is the news and perspectives portion. Think like a more queer version of Bill Maher's Roundtable. We tackle a number of curated news sources that myself and a number of others have, you know, picked out as what are important current events to talk about in the limited amount of time we have, and sort of dive into them and explain the cultural significance and the meaning behind what is going on in the world in regards to LGBT news.
And how long have you been doing The Queer Life?
The Queer Life radio show started in 2014, and its official first air date was August 1st, 2014, and just finished my 90th episode, I believe.
Wow, that's great. How can folks here in Colorado listen to The Queer Life? Is there a way for them to do that over the web?
Absolutely. The Queer Life is available on thequeerlife.org with links to the Queer Life podcast version, which is high-quality recordings of the radio show on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. I'm experimenting with Facebook live stream, which is still a fairly new technology, and in the past have done many episodes, over 50 episodes, streamed live via Google Hangouts on Air, which is a YouTube live streaming technology. You know, definitely follow The Queer Life on the website or on the Facebook page, and that'll give you up-to-date ways to watch the radio show live, which is kind of a strange thing. But the podcast is a great way for people internationally and outside of the area to stay up-to-date on the show.
And the Facebook streaming, isn't that the means that girlfriend of the shooting victim in Minneapolis streamed that video to the world?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what motivated you to start doing The Queer Life, and what keeps you going, seeing as you do your show weekly? That's a lot of work, I would imagine.
Yeah, it definitely is a lot of work. Labor of love and obligation to my community. I created the Queer Life radio show, along with a few other people in my corner, and we did it because I realized that there's not a whole lot of LGBT queer news in mainstream media with quite the broadcasting reach that I would prefer. If you listen to NPR, you might hear maybe one or two stories every once in a while on it. And local radio and regional radio and public radio, there's honestly not a whole lot. And if it is queer radio, then it's usually coming from a gay white male, which is, which is fine, but not representative of the entire queer community. And I found a lot of the queer shows out there focused on entertainment rather than news and education, which is something that I really try to focus on. I created the show that I wanted to hear, and I hope to inspire more people to get on the activism boat and do it in a way that is educated and clear and really invites people to join in on a conversation as opposed to pushing people away or browbeating anybody. I want to bring everybody together.
Did you have any trouble finding a venue for the Queer Life? Was it quote-unquote a difficult sell for radio stations up there in Sonoma County?
It was not, actually. And surprising, at the time I started the Queer Life, it was... I was doing a lot of public speaking. I had done hundreds of hours of speaking at universities and high schools, middle schools, and speaking to mental health professionals and staff of organizations. And, I was actually volunteering at KBBF, and just because I like to volunteer, I like to be a part of my community. And I noticed that while I was talking to one of the board members of KBBF, he said, "Hey, well, have you ever thought of speaking on radio?" And I was like, "Actually, no." And so the radio station actually had approached me to start the show, and I gave it some thoughts and put some work into it. And after quite a bit of training and a lot of preparation, the Queer Life was born.
And from what I gather, KBBF is largely has Latino oriented programming and is bilingual. Is that true?
KBBF is the first bilingual radio station in the nation, founded by the Kennedys as a way to promote a relationship in regards to civil rights and Latino activism. And KBBF was actually gifted with property and a broadcasting reach that reaches the entire San Francisco Bay Area, which is a census-wise population of up to 5 million people. We have a huge reach out there, sort of like a sleeping giant, if you will.
Wow, so you, from Sonoma County, you can reach all the way, like, as far as San Jose, and then far...
Yep, I can reach...
And maybe, like...
San Jose, and all the way up to Redding.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing. Well, can you tell us about a few of your more memorable guests or episodes? And you recently did an episode that focused on the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting. Is that true? Is that correct?
I did focus on the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting in one of the most recent episodes, and I honestly, it's a very hard subject to talk about. When it happened, I actually had to pull away from social media and reading the news because it was so horrible.
Yeah,
and
I know what you mean. I just felt so overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, it's extremely overwhelming, and how do you talk about it other than say, "This is really terrible"? And something that I did say during the show was that, unfortunately, it was unexpected and something that was predicted, that I had been predicting for the last couple years here, that unfortunately people don't pay attention unless something really horrible has to happen. And even then, people will still forget it months later. And so I'm hoping that there's a greater impact and awareness as a result of all the pain and suffering that has occurred. But you asked about some memorable episodes.
Yeah.
There's so many. Let me think about that. Well, in one of my earlier episodes, I interviewed Dr. Jennifer Slovis from Kaiser, which is a hospital system out here in California that actually has a lot of support for trans people. And there's what's called the Multi-Specialty Transitions Clinic in Kaiser, and this is one of the doctors, and she gave a lot of really incredible useful knowledge in terms of navigating the healthcare system. Another interview that I really enjoyed was Dr. Suji Tamar Mattis, who is a huge advocate in the trans and intersex communities here in Sonoma County, and she's sort of like a frontline doctor. Most trans people in Northern California have actually come through Dr. Suji to get medical assistance. She actually started the Trans Life Regional Rural Conference, I think that's what it's called, a conference for trans people in Northern California. I mean, I've interviewed Double Rainbows guy, Paul Vasquez, you know, from that YouTube video, and I've interviewed just recently The Letter People, which is an LGBTQ business organization, and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and mental health professionals, and kind of all over the place. Incredible people.
A good mix of
Alan Fox, who is the first openly trans MMA fighter in the UFC. Pretty amazing.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU. I'm your host, Angela Palermo. Today, we're speaking with Kaya Kramer. Kaya is a trans advocate based in Sonoma County, California, who hosts the radio show / podcast, The Queer Life. Can't anybody see? Getting back to your show, do you get a lot of feedback, whether positive or negative, from trans people? And how about cisgender folks? How do they react to the queer life?
Feedback, yeah. Well, the feedback that first comes to my mind is from the messages I receive from people who are queer identified or whom are questioning their gender identity or sexual orientation. And it's people who are from all over the world, and they ask me advice on coming out and advice on how to speak with their parents or how to come out at work. And it's from all walks of life. And those really strike me, and those are very powerful because the show has reached them wherever they are in the world, whether they're in Germany or South Africa or Japan or Brazil. It's the queer life has hit nearly every single continent. And I'm really moved that they're able to get inspired by the show and what I'm able to offer them. It also saddens me because I can't help them more, but that's another subject entirely. As far as cisgender and heterosexual people listening to the show, there's quite a few. My listenership is primarily over the radio, where at any point we can have 7,000 to 30,000 listeners at a time. And
wow,
I get people who call in or message me and say that they have a brother or a cousin or a sister or a family member or a close friend who's coming out as gay or trans or lesbian or bisexual or any part of the queer spectrum, and that this show has helped them gain perspective. I mean, that's why I call the show LGBT News Modern Perspective, because it's about understanding our fellow human being and and the fact that I can reach these people. I don't want to preach to the choir. I want to reach people to broaden maybe a seed of understanding inside them and letting that grow.
Oh, great. So like reaching out to potential allies is an important thing for you?
I think it's the most important thing.
Yeah. Speaking of, you were talking about the global reach just a few minutes ago of the show. What about the very local and specific aspects in Sonoma County? How would you describe the situation of trans folks there in the county? And is Sonoma a difficult place to be trans, would you say?
Sonoma County is about an hour north of San Francisco, which everybody sort of understands as a queer mecca of the world. And even here in Sonoma County, which is fairly liberal and progressive and accepting of queer identities, there's still work to be done. There's still understanding, because there is no trans education in our school systems or corporate manuals for jobs at work. While there might be blanket acceptance of trans people, there isn't understanding. You know, we don't just want tolerance. We want people to see us as their fellow human being and acknowledge that we as trans people are one of the most underrepresented and underprivileged minority groups on the planet. And we still want to do the same things everybody else is doing. Is it hard to be trans in Sonoma County? I think it's hard to be trans anywhere, but I think being trans in Sonoma County is just fine. We have access to a lot of resources up here.
And for trans people of color there, do you think they feel especially vulnerable? Or because that's assault and murder rates of particularly trans women of color being so problematic, I'm just wondering, what's the trans community of color like there? Is it fairly vibrant or not?
As a trans woman of color, I can say that the people of color, the communities up here in general, are much smaller than you would find in the city. And so it's harder for particularly trans men of color or trans women of color up here in, you know, what we call North Bay, Sonoma County is finding others. It's typically very white. And I mean, the community leaders in terms of trans support groups and LGBT organizations are doing a bang up job. They're really supportive and everything, but there isn't a whole lot of people of color in leadership positions in these organizations, because we're somewhat rural out here compared to the city. I mean, it's a medium-sized town, city, Santa Rosa, where I'm at. So I think it's hard to be a person of color within the queer community anywhere, and it's hard here, not because people are blatantly racist. It's a result of microaggression and misunderstanding more than anything.
Yeah, and I think, from the way you're describing Sonoma County and the city of Santa Rosa, it sounds a lot like Boulder and Boulder County, where Boulder is supposed to be this very open-minded, liberal sort of place. And in a lot of ways it is, but for people with queer identities and for people of color or queer people of color, I think they often feel not fully included or not fully seen, or that there's not a lot of understanding regarding their experiences in the general wider community. So, yeah, it sounds very similar to what we have here in Boulder.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned in the introduction the recent spate of anti-transgender bills that have sprouted up across the nation. How worrisome do you find that? And do you have any theories as to why there have been so much of that anti-trans activity of late?
I think it's an inevitable result of the awareness that has been surrounding around our visibility, because we're more outspoken now, because people know that we exist and that we're trying to carve out an existence for ourselves in a very public way. There's going to be some backlash. There's going to be people who are not going to understand why we come out, why we feel the way that we do and identify the ways that we do. And so when people don't understand, there's going to be fear. And one of my favorite quotes is from Yoda from Star Wars. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And that's just what's happening right now. And my heart goes out to all the queer people and trans people who are suffering as a result of this hate. But I put out there that, you know, like the Buddha said, life is pain and suffering, and there's going to be a little bit of pain and suffering before you get to a place of equilibrium with your gender identity, sexual orientation, and your sense of self, ultimately, as a human being. And for the people that don't understand this, that feel fear or hate or misunderstanding towards us as queer or trans people, I just hope that you can find it in your hearts to open that box of understanding and let in a little bit more love from our shared experiences as human beings, because in the end, we're all human beings trying to make our way in the world, and so long as we're not trying to harm each other physically or emotionally, I think we can be cheesy. I think we can really get along at some point, even if we disagree.
I agree with you, and I also wonder if part of this backlash is, I don't know if it's on a conscious level or how much it's on a conscious level, but I think maybe the religious right realized that they were going to lose the gay marriage fight, and they turned to the next available, vulnerable queer population, and that was trans people. Because it just seems like the timing was so sort of matched up with their loss or leading up to a year ago when the Supreme Court allowed gay marriage. It just seemed like the anti-trans stuff went into overdrive right around that time that decision came down. I don't know. That's kind of a theory I have.
It seems that way, moving from the focus on same-sex marriage to trans identities. It's in my opinion, I think it's a red herring. It's to distract us from the real issues, and the real issues in this country, at least, are people going hungry, access to education and resources, access to jobs, and that will actually support them. Our environment. the list goes on. There are much more important issues, and I think this is a sort of to distract us from what's important.
Yeah, and in the last week, I think the whole issue of racial equality has certainly bubbled to the top of public consciousness. We're recording this the week after all the horrible violence in Baton Rouge and Minneapolis and Dallas. So, yeah, it's been a difficult week or so.
Terrific.
Just curious, do you know of other trans women doing independent media of whatever sort out there in California or in general in the U.S.? Besides you and me?
I don't. I'm not aware of any other trans people producing radio. I know there's trans producers in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm part of a Facebook group of people in the entertainment industry. There's, of course, there's Zoe Tour, whom was on Insider Edition or as an anchor, but she's received quite a bit of criticism.
There's Jen Richards, who's doing her story on the web. I've spoken with her.
I'll have to check her out. That's incredible work. Yeah, so I'm not really aware of that many trans people in media positions. There's the obvious organizations like the Transgender Law Center, which is located in San Francisco, which has a very trans-dominant staff, and they're very vocal, and there's representatives in GLAAD and major LGBT organizations, but it's really not much. And kind of sad, actually. There needs to be more people, more trans people in media out there. Yeah, I don't know what it'll take to change that.
Well, where do you see, or what are your future plans, both professionally and as far as the radio show goes, just to wrap up?
Yeah, I personally wear many hats. I'm still a full-time student. I attended UC Berkeley and finishing up some classes at Santa Rosa's Junior College for pre-med. I hope to be a doctor someday.
Wow.
And yeah, so I can better help our community a little bit further. And I'm a full-time web designer, run my own business, doing web design, technology, and a bit of programming. I look forward to growing the queer life beyond just me. I want to find more people with journalistic integrity and aspirations who come from the queer community who want to produce powerful radio. I want the queer life to become further syndicated. I want more than it already is. I want people to know that they are not alone and that the queer life can reach them and reassure them that you can be anything that you want to be in regards to being a queer-identified person and pursuing a career or an education and succeeding in this world. It's sort of a big, lofty goal, but that's where I feel like I'm going with all this. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, those are certainly worthy, very worthy goals. Thanks so much, Kaya, for being on the show. Really appreciate it. We've been speaking with Kaya Kramer, a trans activist from Northern California who hosts the radio show The Queer Life on KBPF in Santa Rosa. You can listen to her show also on her website, www.thequeerlife.org. Thanks so much, Kaya, again.
It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Please stay tuned for our events and announcements section. LGBTQ free yoga every Sunday. Bring your mat and enjoy a bendy, fun, relaxing, and body-affirming hour of yoga. All abilities and flexibilities are welcome. No mat? No worries. There will be mats available to use. The free yoga is held every Sunday from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. at Alchemy of Movement, which is located at 2436 30th Street in Boulder. Tickets now available for Out on the Farm, a benefit for Out Boulder County. You're invited to join Out Boulder County for a magical night to support our programming, meet community leaders, and enjoy small plates and beer pairings provided by Greens Point Catering and Twisted Pine Brewing Company. Tickets for this event are limited and will go quickly. You can grab a spot today at www.tiny.cc/outonthefarm. The event will be held Thursday, August 11th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Lone Hawk Farm, which is located at 10790 North 49th Street in Longmont.